In a few minutes, we'll ask a puritanical question about the British Queen's big celebration today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There's news just now that the oil producers' cartel OPEC Plus, notably Saudi Arabia, are now prepared to ramp up some extra production to compensate for some Russian sanctions. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with an update.
And David, details are just coming in. It's a modest increase to daily output. The plan was for about 400,000 barrels more a day. They've apparently agreed to up that to about 650,000 barrels in July and another 650,000 more in August. So more than OPEC's usual slow and steady approach, but it won't make up for all the Russian oil that's being embargoed, estimated at about 1 million barrels daily so far. Still, it's a significant change for OPEC and means Saudi Arabia especially can respond to U.S. pressure to pump more oil and to try to bring down prices.
And crude prices just turned up. Nova, thanks. Tomorrow, we'll learn how many people were getting paychecks in May. The Labor Department already says that in April, the number of job openings stood near the record high. But there's a hint the labor shortage is starting to ease. Here's Marketplace's Justin Ho.
In some sense, the labor market hasn't changed all that much in the past year. For instance, the rate at which people have been quitting their jobs has been hovering near record highs since April of 2021. Peter Arazem is an economics professor at Iowa State University.
We have a lot more firms that are looking for workers than we have workers who are looking for firms.
That said, the total number of jobs open in April this year fell, especially in retail, food and accommodation, and healthcare. Sarah House, senior economist at Wells Fargo, says that could be a sign that the extremely tight labor market is finally starting to loosen up.
We're starting to see employers at least not feeling like they have to hire at such a frenetic pace as what we saw in the second half of last year.
House says there are a few forces that could continue to bring the supply of labor back in line with demand. For one, companies might not need as many workers if the economy slows down.
And you just don't have as much demand, and that helps bring the labor market in better balance.
And a lot of people that left the labor force might start looking for work again. That would bring up the supply of available workers who might now feel safe returning to work or who might need the paycheck.
So the fact that we have had inflation running at the highest rate we've seen in 40 years, I think that could push some folks back into the labor market.
In particular, the millions of older workers who had to stop working early in the pandemic, says labor economist Teresa Ghilarducci at the New School.
If their healthcare costs start going up, that would induce an older worker to get pretty freaked out and work more hours or hop back into the labor force.
Meanwhile, Ghilarducci says many younger workers are seeing their wage gains get eaten away by inflation.
If we truly had a labor market where employers were searching for scarce workers, we would see them having to dip into profits and we would be seeing much higher wage increases.
And if companies don't choose to hike wages to counter inflation, Ghilarducci says that's a sign that employers aren't all that desperate for workers after all. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
In Britain, they're off today, the start of a special four-day weekend to mark the start of the 70th year of Queen Elizabeth, longest reign ever for a British monarch. $2.5 billion worth of extra food and drink could be sold for this Platinum Jubilee celebration. Yet I feel compelled to ask about productivity. My Marketplace colleague Victoria Craig got one of the BBC's decent vantage points this morning. Victoria, you can see Buckingham Palace.
I have sights on that famous balcony, David, where we will see the Queen and her family in just a little bit. And in fact, a rarity in this country, the sun has just popped out.
Yeah, you just slacked me that picture, and it looks like a great day. But because we are econ nerds, you and I, what's the verdict on balance, do you think? 4 days off, two of them on a weekday, a plus or a minus?
Well, it's good if you like to sleep in, I suppose, but a little bit of both for the economy. Oxford Economics has crunched the numbers, and on the plus side, there's a lot more spending during long weekends like this. On the downside, though, all of those people are off work, and that leads to a big drop-off in productivity that the extra spending, you know, just doesn't make up for. And so here's Oxford Economics chief UK economist Andrew Goodwin, who sort of summed it up nicely.
We only have about 65 working days in any quarter anyway. So if you lose one of them, it's quite a big loss in terms of output. So we do expect the economy to suffer a modest hit from the extra bank holiday.
Ultimately, David, then he predicts the economy will shrink 0.3% from the first quarter in the second quarter.
What a party pooper. Now, this would be a reversal from economic growth of almost 1% annualized between January and March. But, you know, Victoria, it's not the Queen's special day here causing that right now.
Yeah, definitely. Inflation, thanks in part to the war in Ukraine and the pandemic, definitely a big contributing factor to the UK's expected performance this quarter. Oxford economists expect that that squeeze on household incomes will continue even into the third quarter of this year. But David, there is a silver lining since there will be the full slate of working days during that period. They say we are unlikely to see a second quarter of contraction, which would be the technical definition of an economic recession.
My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, in front of one of Queen Elizabeth's big houses. Thank you very much, Victoria.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Comparisons then and now. On Queen Elizabeth's coronation day 69 years ago, 1953, coal made up 89% of Britain's energy supply. It's now 6.5%. Adjusted for inflation, each person in Britain earns four times what they did at the coronation. But look at what's similar. Inflation was running at 11% back then, in part due to the effect of war on global commodity prices. Sound familiar? The Korean War, in that case. Inflation's at 9% annualized in the UK now. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.